Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast, today is May... What is this?
I don't even
22nd,
know.
Maybe?
Is it?
25th.
25th.
I'm wild.
Memorial Day is Monday. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's this weekend. This weekend's Memorial Day weekend. And the weather in New York is...
The streets are acting like it was last weekend.
Oh, last weekend, the streets was on fire.
Yo, outside was full. First of all, I can't remember. I'm sure it's happened. I cannot remember 90 degree days in May. That's A.
Yeah.
And we had three of them consecutively, Friday, Saturday, nice. Sunday, 88, which you might as well say is 90.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was nice. Like,
so there's a barbershop on my block. My block was double parked all weekend. I had never seen that. Double parked all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
The barbershop was full, and it was like this mobile unit doing hand wash car washes.
Oh, yeah.
I got one of them drinks when I was home.
The people was
Changed
out.
Life.
Yeah, people was out. I went. Well, it's supposed to be brunch. Fucking with Rabia. It was dinner. Me, Rabia, and Susan.
Okay.
Sunday. We're supposed to do brunch. We ended up linking up at 5:30.
Rabia is my sister. For those
people, we went to Boulevard.
That sounds accurate.
Yeah, it's wild accurate. Yeah. First of all, she told me and Susan she was on the way. She showed up like 45 minutes later. Now, right. Mind you, we went to Boulevard, which for those who don't know New York, it's on 116th and 8th Avenue. Right. It's actually a greatly good spot owned by a black couple. Black couple went to Virginia State or Virginia Union, one of those schools. Anyway, great food, blah, blah. Rabia lives on 148th?
Yes.
And 8th. So she's up the street?
Ish.
Well, you know, I mean, a five-minute...
That's a big gap between 116.
No, I'm not saying... No, it's a long walk. But in a car, yeah, it's like 6 minutes in a car. You know what I'm saying? And again, but I love her, so I don't want to rag on her. We had a great time.
No, she can't, because remember, she got upset when I talked about it starting.
I already told her she was
It's all wild. Love. It's all love. All
but
love.
We had a great time. We sat outside. The weather was great. We just kicked it, and we had a great day in Harlem. But yeah, the weather's been crazy. I rode my bike. When was that? Saturday? Friday. I rode my bike Friday. And I was popping. Saturday, I worked out Saturday, but I didn't ride. But the weather's been great. And now this week is weird because yesterday was like in the 60s, but then I think it gets back to like 80 something tomorrow. Then by Friday, it's back down to the 60s. It's like, it's that's spring fighting just the summer. Like, nigga, fuck you, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Well, speaking of, we usually have snow the first week or two of May, and then right now it's like 60s. Usually
you're good
but today it's like 75 and humid. We never get that in May.
This is all some global warming shit.
For sure. And anyway, I got a shout out.
Go.
I want to shout out. I don't know if you can hear like the little bit of gravel in my voice, but it's because my husband and I found a black owned cigar shop in Edgewater, Maryland. If you ever been to like the Baltimore, Annapolis area, Edgewater is like a suburb of Annapolis, but it's very white.
Right.
So I was shocked that, my husband's Googling just to find a cigar so we could relax. And we found this great black owned shop. It's called Mojo Cigars. The owner was super cool. We get there, we bought the cigar during the day. And then we finally got a babysitter. So we came back the next night to just like chill and check out the atmosphere. It was so black. I had a black ass time. They had like fold up chairs in the parking lot.
Yeah,
it was BYOB. It was arguing over a poker game. Like it was just so
perfect. It was us.
Big leather chairs. It was the best night ever. And we just spent a couple hours in there. So shout out to Mojo Cigars. If you're ever in Edgewater, go check them out. And of course, because I'm recording, niggas is cutting grass right now.
I can't hear it. Okay, it's fine. Good. It's fine. I don't think I have any shout outs this week. I'm trying to look. I don't see anything. I guess, it's not a shout out to a person, but I guess it's definitely mask off in New York a lot. Yeah. Now, you see a mask, but it's a lot of mask off in New York. The gyms are now
basically off.
The gyms are 100% now. The gyms are 100%. You don't have to wear a mask in the gym. It's optional. So you do see some people wearing them, but you see a lot of people wear them off. Restaurants are pretty much there. You know, they're getting closer and closer to the mask off.
But I feel like a lot of them are more like you need to wear it while you're walking around the restaurant, just not while you're seated.
Because it's kind of ass backwards because people wear their mask into the gym, but then get in the gym and take it off. It's just it's like when on the elevator going upstairs, but then when you get in, it's just nobody knows what to do.
I wear them indoors when I have to come in close contact with other people, right?
Yeah.
So like if I'm going in a grocery store, if I'm going in a shop, but like in a restaurant, I wear them inside, but then I feel bad, right? Because I take it off when I get to the table. Not that I still haven't been out to eat that much, but I take it off when I get to the table. But then I feel bad because you're interacting with wait staff and you don't have your mask on.
Yeah.
And like, granted, I'm vaccinated and everything, but still, I'm sensitive to
To them.
People who don't have a choice but to have to interact with us and stuff like that. But it also feels crazy to be sitting at your table with your mask. I don't know. Answer my door, I still put my mask on when I answer my door just to get like.
I put my mask on when I leave out the crib still. Like when I rode my bike the other day, I put my mask on. But then as soon as I got outside with my bike, I took it off. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore, bro. I got the vaccination, you know, so I'm winging a prayer on that shit works. And we out here.
Because the mask is really supposed to be about the protection of other people. So my rule of thumb is mostly, aside from the buildings that I have to wear it into, to try to observe mask wearing when I'm interacting with other people.
I'm literally
the only person in my building who still wears it just around the building.
It's around, yeah.
None of my neighbors are wearing masks.
I'll take the train sometime to go like down to Harlem. I wear it on the train. On the train, you still have to wear them, I believe. I wear mine. And everybody on the train still wears theirs. And then, you know, because I'm an old nigga, I've been taking the bus a lot lately. Because I don't like going underground as much. I'll be on the bus and just chilling on the bus. And I wear my joint on the bus. Everybody wears their joint on the bus. I enjoy the bus because it's like, you know, it's a cool ride, man.
The bus, too.
And it ain't underground. You won't get stuck. You know what I mean? I have a phobia of getting stuck because I've been stuck on so many trains. I'm like, at least on the bus, even if it's a little slower, I know I'm not getting stuck. If something happens, I just get off the bus and walk or whatever. But anyway,
such a conundrum at brunch with the whole mask thing because it was a fucking buffet. I didn't know what to do. Like, I'm vaccinated. It was partially inside, partially outside. Yeah. They had servers working with the buffet. Like, for the most part, you couldn't just pick up the handles and, get your shit. But it was some parts where you could.
So it's everybody's confused.
And all the black people had masks on at the buffet.
Okay.
And you did not.
The other folks.
The others.
by the way, Bruz, I don't think Bruz's gonna make it. He might try to tap in. He's out. He's on the West Coast doing some stuff, so I don't know if he's gonna be able to tap in today. He's gonna try, but it's definitely not a guarantee. You might not hear Sean's voice this week. I guess we can start off with a couple of things.
Go ahead.
You want to talk about Ivy Palooza?
I was in Maryland for 8 days, and you know that's like a month in TV time. So I've been binging since I got home yesterday, but everything is a blur. So if I talk about some shit and it makes no sense,
it's all good.
Maryland and enjoying my life and in these streets, and
as you should,
now with Ivy and her craziness. So.
Ain't nobody mad at you. Oh, okay. A couple things. I do have a shout out. I'm tripping. Got a shout out to my Aunt Kat. I've mentioned her on the show before. She's 91 now. And she had a little, I don't know if health scare is quite the way, but she has to go to the hospital for a couple of days, but she's okay.
Okay.
So peace to our cat. I'm actually going to Kentucky for July 4th weekend. Okay. To see my family. Like, why not? You know what I'm saying? Like, right. What's going on, man? Because, you know, the thing about Kentucky, as any down south excursion, like I'm sure the Inca just experienced, like, once you get there, you don't spend no money. Right. you're just hanging out with the family. It's not
is not my experience.
Well, you had a party. You had a whole big Ivy Palooza thing.
Well, I didn't spend money on the party, but we spent a lot of money this week.
Are y'all the rich cousins?
Freedom. We can't. Oh, because of freedom. That. But just freedom. Like, we went to a random trampoline park.
You're shit like that, you know. Yeah,
cigar bar. We're picking up. You know, a lady was having a birthday at brunch, and you
picked
know,
up a tab, a
drink, and like we're a little. We got to chill out. Actually,
all right, cool.
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. So I'm doing that. So I was.
So you live in the sticks regularly, so that's different. You just exactly have civilization.
You was like, oh, we in the city.
It's like that tweet where they talk about how women get together and spend money like drug dealers.
Yeah. That's kind of what it's like. It's all good. I wanted to mention a couple of verses. So we got two verses coming up. One this weekend, right? With Timbaland and is that tonight or this weekend? With Timbaland and Swizz.
Oh, the rematch of Timbaland.
Yeah, the rematch. It's got this I think it's Saturday. We got that. And it was announced that they're gonna do Soulja Boy and Bow Wow, which we had a big debate about on our
It's on Sunday.
Swizz is Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know when Soulja Boy and Bow Wow is, but I think that's maybe early June, I believe. But I think the Soulja Boy Bow Wow thing is a good look for the verses because what they're doing, as you can see, is like, you know, they have kind of one generation kind of on Smash, which is kind of like the aunties and the unks, you know, when they do SWV and Escape or the Isleys and Up in the Fire. And, you know, those are my favorites, like, because those artists are such legendary artists with such extensive deep catalog. But I understand the Soulja Boy Bow Wow thing because, you know, we were working in me and Naeem, I guess, working in the music business, but like, you know, those they were younger than us, but I think so some people might not quite understand how big they were. They had a shorter run than a lot of artists, but for their run, Soulja Boy, I mean, you worked with Bow Wow, so you know.
Yeah, well, Bow Wow's run was significant.
Longer.
And it
was still going because he's still active, you know, movies.
Yeah, but it ended, like, his hit run ended really abruptly. And honestly, he probably should be mad at it to this day. We had two Bow albums, and this is a lot of backstory, but there was one Bow album that he did with Jermaine. That one got killed, and we did a second one, and that ended up being like the last album he put out on Columbia. But the one he did that we were going to put out with Jermaine, that shit was fucking fire.
Of course, because Jermaine knows him inside out.
Right.
Knows
but exactly that was also like the end of the hit run for Bow. Yeah. But that was also, I guess, the end of that whole like
Scream Tour. 106 and Park era.
That shit was over, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it ended really fast. Like, the drop-off was wild.
Yeah, it was quick. It was quick. Yeah, but it was a run.
But there was a run, and Bow
they were doing arenas. Scream Tour was doing arenas. Like, they were...
I don't think anybody is denying the run. I think people are confused as to, like, the relevance.
The relevance, there is relevance, is just not with us. But I'm
right,
telling
no,
you,
I mean the but, timing. If they had done this 3 months ago, I would have tuned in. But also, it was only 80 degrees that day. I'm not going to watch the verses.
Yeah, I think that's the hard thing. Like, people are back outside, and also, like, you know, Versus does have an older auntie and uncle base, but they got the millennials, like Keisha Cole and freaking
Ashanti.
Ashanti, that wasn't for me. You know what I'm saying? That's really the same audience as this Bow Soulja Boy audience. Now,
kind of.
There's some overlap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, some overlap. There's definitely some overlap.
That definitely wasn't for me. But Bow can step on that stage easy. Soulja Boy is more important than I'll say even I've given him credit for, because he's one of the most pivotal figures in the transition from like a physical music space to a digital music space, right? Yeah.
He's like the godfather of internet rap. He really is.
Going viral and mm-hmm. YouTube, like he did all that shit first, right? Mm-hmm. He was letting people pay him to tweet before Twitter let you do sponsor tweets, all that shit. But I know Soulja has some hits, but I'm like, how many hits does Soulja have?
I think he has more than you think. Now, I'm not saying he has many as Bow. I'm not saying that. But right. I think he has more than you think. I put it like this. So my producers they're both 27 years old. They're geeked. Now, these are Atlanta niggas. And they like, yo, Soulja gonna win. So I'm telling you, there's a huge kind of faction. Cause I mean, Soulja had the dancers, he had the shades. He was a very culturally relevant figure to that generation.
And I'm not even gonna say who's winning or who's not. I don't know that I'm turning in for this. Okay. I probably will. But I mean, tuning in, I probably will just out of curiosity. But I would. If it was Bow, and I don't even know who else you would put with Bow, because Bow has monsters. Bow has fucking monsters. Mm-hmm. Like,
some folks are saying Omarion, but I'm not sure.
Omarion, if you could play some of the if you played the B2K stuff as well as his souls, maybe.
I mean, Bow was doing features when he was fucking 11, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's
I think it's just gonna be a fun night. It's gonna be like, it's literally gonna be like it's gonna be like watching 106 in Park.
Maybe AJ and Free to host it.
They should do that actually.
This is an amazing problem to have, though, that we have this great thing, but there's so many other great things to do that we're not. We might not tune into this great thing. Like, it's
but again, like I keep saying, Inga, like, yeah, you might not, but right. I'm promising you, anybody 30 and under is tuning in, whether it's at home or on their phone, they're watching this. I promise you, they are watching this. They can't wait.
Outside is really, really open. So it depends
on what you guys do. That's why I said phone. That's why I said on
your
phone.
We got to get to these roaring 20s.
I have to do it on a weeknight because they do it on Saturday. That shit is over.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's versus should be interesting. You know what? Sidebar. I watched Uncensored the other day. Everybody, try to watch if you can. If you ain't doing nothing else, the Jaleel White episode, the guy who played Urkel. It's
what is Uncensored? What is that on?
Uncensored is like unsung. It's unsung, except they do actors and stuff. And stuff. Yeah, they don't do the music.
I be forgetting. You know me. I forget. TV, BET.
So they did Jaleel White, and this is first of all, he's like very charismatic guy, very well spoken, like knows how to tell a great story, and you know keeps it real funky about shit. And it was just a very. I learned a lot that I didn't quite know about his journey. And it's a very, very good episode. Again, if you ain't, you know, doing shit one night and you ain't got some, you know, just chilling, check it out.
He's actually a new favorite follower of mine on Instagram. Like him and his be out.
Him and his daughter, right?
Yeah, daughter is plural. I think he has a few kids.
Okay.
Maybe. But like he posts like fun dad shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's dope. He's
a podcaster too. He has a
I didn't know that
podcast. I've listened to like two episodes, but he just interviews other actors.
Okay.
I listened to the Tyler James Williams episode, which I thought was really, really good.
Yeah, because they kind of like the same.
They mesh.
Journey.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same journey.
But yeah, I love, like, he is a gifted storyteller. Like,
he is.
I could listen forever.
That's what I'm saying. His Uncensored was really good. Like, I just say, like, if you ain't, you know, you got some time to kill or whatever, check it out for sure.
Check it out.
So I know I mentioned it before. But again, like, because it's getting better. If you haven't, you know, this is just free pup. But if you haven't checked out Naomi Campbell's podcast, it's a visual podcast. It's on YouTube. Her shit is great.
Fucking content.
But her shit is great. She has.
I believe you.
She has the best Dave Chappelle interview I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Because they know each other. Because they know each other. So they're really and he's not trying to be funny. Like, he's not really cracking joke. He's just talking. Like, she has a great one with Lionel Richie. A great one with Lionel Richie. Because again, she knows these people. So like, when she's talking to them, they're not like, who are you or whatever. She just put up Mariah. She did Mariah last week.
Good. Okay.
Yo, that is good.
Naomi Campbell's podcast is fucking awesome. I mean, again, I don't even know. I'm assuming it will be on Spotify, but watch it on YouTube because you see the visuals because she's sitting there talking and stuff. And she's like, yo, she's you know, been famous for years. She's been around for years. That's right, Ivy.
Thank you, Ivy.
Thank you, Ivy. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm with all of that. So check that out. I know, you might want to jump in on this one, but find it interesting, and you know, gonna see what happens. ABC has put out like some trailers for some new programming coming up, and there's three black shows.
Yep.
So there's a Quinta Brunson led show. There's a show, the Brandy and them about a girls group getting back together.
Yeah.
There was another one.
The Queen one is Brandy, Eve, Notori.
Yeah, Notori Horton, and there's four of them. Damn, who's the fourth one?
Who's the other one? Is it Maya?
No, it's not Maya. I'll look it up while you talk, though, but yeah.
I think it's Maya.
Let me look it up.
And then the last one, they're doing a black reboot of The Wonder Years with Donny.
Yes.
which I tweeted about that I was initially excited for. And then my next tweet was that I saw Lee Daniels in the credits as a producer. And I kind of put my head in my hands. And Lee Daniels said, I have this own response sometimes. I was like, all right, because Lee Daniels does so much. I was like, oh my God. Like, the thing about Wonder Years is that it's a coming of age story. So you have to toe the line between grown up heavy shit and kid shit. Cause the main character is a kid, right?
Yeah.
But because it's a coming of age story, meaning a child story told from an adult perspective, you still have to have like some heavy, some.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah.
But Lee is like, it's like Lee is what Tyler Perry would be if Tyler Perry would spend money. You know what I'm saying? Like, if Tyler Perry would actually spend money and like pay a union fee for
his Lee Daniels
group, he'd be Lee Daniels. Yes.
So Lee's an EP on this.
One of the EPs. Fred Savage himself is also,
of course.
That's great. I think it's really great.
But the thing about Wonder Years was, and we could talk. You know, we'll talk about all three shows. But the thing about Wonder Years was, even though it was this kind of white suburban, it was this white suburban family, and Kevin, who was Fred Savage, played. It was like his.
They were mostly about him.
When you could work like at a plant and still have a house in the burbs, kind of thing.
Right.
But even though it was that, the stories were very kind of universal.
Yeah, it was very relatable.
Yeah, it was mad relatable to whoever. It wasn't like kind of like white, you know, story. Just happened to be a white family, but what they went through, you Kevin having a crush on Winnie, there was sometimes issues with the mom and the dad, Kevin having issues with his older brother, and it was a sister too, right?
Yeah.
It was three kids. Yeah. Like all that stuff was like very relatable. So the Wendy Years was a great And they it stayed on for a minute, so they grew. Like you saw them getting bigger, getting older, and stuff like that. And Kevin having issues with his best friend's name. Paul. Paul with the glasses. Yeah. So I think this is gonna be this could be potentially really good because they don't have to flip a lot. I'm sure they'll interject black stuff into it.
No, I think they're taking a different approach because I think for one thing, the Wonder Years I think was supposed to be in the 60s. This is supposed to be in the
70s. True. Because of course,
black coming to age story in the 60s is not going to be something that we all necessarily want.
In the suburbs.
Right. So I think
that's raising in the sun. You know, we don't want that.
So this one's this one's set in the 70s. So I think it is more going to be about the same format than it is the same show. Does that make sense? You know,
with the voiceover and the narrator kind of guiding things through.
And it is the same. Like, I don't even know. I don't even know if the guy, if what the characters' names are yet. That might have but I don't think they're trying to so much do the same story as they're just doing the same concept.
I got you. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to, actually the fourth girl I'm looking now, I don't know her. Her name is Nadine Velasquez. I don't know what she's been in. But I'm looking forward to this show, Queens, which is about a girl group getting back together.
A 90s girl group
getting back together, starring Eve, like you said, Notori, Brandy, and this woman Nadine Velasquez, and some other people in it too. I'm just looking forward to it, just kind of see how they flip it. That's the kind of property I was actually surprised that didn't end up being like a Netflix or HBO Max show, because with that they could have kind of stretched it out a little further, you know, a little cursing, maybe a little, you know, sexual innuendo. With this, you know, it won't be that because it's ABC, but still gonna give it a play. And then the third one is what's his name? Inky, you just told him, Tyler.
Tyler James Williams?
Yeah. He's in this with Quinta Brunson. Quinta's playing
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, she's playing a teacher in a school, and he's a substitute teacher, and he's like a good looking guy, and, you know, some of the people on him. But I'm sure it's a lot deeper than that, you know. So, yeah, so, I mean, peace to ABC for, like, you know, giving black folks a shot, you know, on network, you know, television, because it's been a minute.
Yeah.
On network television.
But ABC is the home of Black-ish. ABC is the home of Shondaland. ABC is the one network that's been doing black primetime shows.
Scandal.
Oh, just and how to get away with murder and all that.
They had all the Shonda shows.
And they also got coming on, I saw, oh my God, what's his name? From Black-ish. Kenya Barris. He's doing a show with Eva Longoria called Brownish.
Yeah, Brownish. I
just need the franchise to end. I'm happy for them.
Blackish is out of here. I got a feeling Grownish ain't gonna make it past one more season.
Mixish was low key the best one.
Really?
Mixish and Grownish. Nobody watched it. The first two episodes were a little shaky, but then
that's why I checked out.
Yeah, that's why I checked out. Really, really good. And then I didn't see it.
I watched the first episode anyway. And I was like, good on it.
But you know, anyway, this
is
peace to more of us be on TV.
Kenya, shout out to Kenya.
Kenya is your parent that, like, the lotion bottle's almost empty. They cut it open. Mm-hmm. Then they still get it out. Then they put some water in it, swirl it around.
Put the water in the dishwashing liquid.
Right.
It's still good. You use it here.
That's God what Kenya is doing with this concept. Yeah. Like, he's just gonna do it till there ain't no more.
That's right.
Yeah,
and then probably gonna move it right over to Netflix. When
why wouldn't
he? Already did with Black as Fuck. Like,
yeah. So yeah, God bless. So God bless him. I wanted to talk about, I'm going to hold that for a second. Pose. I don't know if you've been watching.
I haven't, so I'm going to go.
Okay.
I think up to five now.
I think this was five. The first two episodes this season of Pose were mid. Like, it was like, not even mid. It was like, what are they doing? Like, what the fuck?
It was like
this?
Completely different than season one and two, which we know happens in season three of these popular shows. But also, like, we had to rein that in a little bit.
Three, four, and five? Maybe three and four might be an echelon of the best two Pose episodes ever.
What happened in three and four?
Three was the electric. They gave what they've been doing this year because they're winding it down. They've been kind of giving the characters, the backstory characters. So three was about Elektra. And how she grew up and everything and how she met all of them. It was awesome because it was like, that's how they met. Like all this stuff that, you know, it kind of really makes you see now the connection with all of them. And actually, Elektra is the connection. And so you don't really get that. You think it's, what's her name?
Blanca.
It's not. It's Elektra.
I felt that, though. That's what really initially drew me to the show, and especially to the character Damon. So I didn't return to the show because they so unceremoniously wrote him off. One of the reasons I continued with the show was because Damon's story, we saw where he really started from. Like,
yes,
that was,
yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I really. So I didn't come back to it. But if you say it's great, I will.
No, I'll come back to it. The Elektra episode is phenomenal. Like, it's like, oh, okay. And then the next episode is Pray Tell.
Okay.
And he goes home.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he goes home. And his mom is played by Anne-Marie Horsford. His aunt.
Oh, my God. I love her.
His aunt is Jackie. And his other aunt is Janet Huber.
All right, I'm in.
Awesome, like awesome episode. Then this week was about kind of like about Poppy, and they give
okay,
Poppy
yeah,
backstory.
I was wondering
they give Poppy backstory, like oh, okay, ah. So yes, yeah, so like the and okay. what I'm saying all this to say, first of all, the last few episodes have been fucking great, but also now it makes sense what Jenna Mock said when she was drunk about how you needed to bring the girls in because that shit was trash. You see the difference in the writing. I'm telling you, they started writing on episode 3 when they brought them back. And it's
wow, then they, okay.
Because the first two episodes, you could tell they were written by people, like you said, who didn't really understand the show and were doing goofy shit. Like, what the fuck? And you see from 3 on, they digging in deep.
Yeah, it's hard to get over that crack hump was in the first two episodes.
That was bonkers.
Recreational crack did not exist.
No,
recreational crack was never a thing. I do want to, I stepped away for a minute, so you may have mentioned this.
Yeah, three, four, and five episodes, and this week was 5.
Even though I need to catch
awesome.
Up. I don't know why. For some reason, my DVR hasn't been recording Pose, which is why I haven't been watching Pose, because I don't even remember what day it comes on, but...
It comes on Tuesday. I didn't know it comes on Tuesdays. The only reason I knew
I feel like it used to come
Kelly
on
was
Tuesdays or something.
It did used to come on another day. Come on Tuesdays now.
So I want to
wait. Today's Tuesday, right? Comes on Mondays. Comes on.
Okay.
Oh no, I'm lying.
Lord.
Might come on Sundays if it comes on Sundays.
You know, but anyway,
whatever. I watch it on demand, so I don't really know.
I want to acknowledge that Billy.
Billy Porter.
I can't remember anybody's name today. Billy Porter. Revealed last week that he's been HIV positive for the past 14 years, which is major because I cannot think of a public figure who has discussed having aside from Magic, who has discussed living with the virus for this long.
Yeah.
And other times, you know, when we've heard of diagnoses, it's been upon death or it's been like not too long before death. Because I think like the last time I actually remember hearing that someone like in the public eye like this that wasn't Magic was HIV positive was who was like a Greg Louganis or something like that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, granted, we've had other stars. I know that we've had plenty of stars who have passed and we've known it after the fact. But in terms of like, because I think we knew about Greg before he died, right? Or did we not?
Yeah, he came out before he died. Because there was a big documentary that he put out about himself and his life.
Right. So like, that's what I mean. Like while they, before they died. But I think it's so important because, you know, people almost forget. It's like people don't even associate Magic with AIDS anymore.
At all.
Mm-hmm. He's not really part of the conversation, even
he's
as
lived he so long. He's lived so long.
Forward, yeah. So like even though people will talk about the day he announced it, it's really weird that when people talk about AIDS and HIV, they don't look at Magic and the fact that his viral load has been undetectable for however long.
Mm-hmm.
For decades at this point.
Right. Yeah, so I think that's where Billy is, like an undetectable viral load. He's lived for 14 years with it. Because the fact of the matter is at this point, it is far from a death sentence. Like it really is a matter of maintenance and but you have to have, you know, be able to afford the medication.
Afford the medications,
But I think it's so important that we are able to see more faces of it and be clear that like there is, you know, some, like I think he actually said something else is gonna kill me. It's not gonna be HIV.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So but again, Pose has been great. Oh, well, I forget.
Uh oh.
Come on now. Give it to me. Give it to me. Y'all what? Niggas owe me. Brian here, but nigga, you owe me too.
Let me tell you something. Whatever
UFOs are real.
Whatever Jeff is about to say is some shit that
UFOs are
real. We never said UFOs weren't real.
We never said they weren't.
Y'all niggas that look, you talk to me like I was crazy. We said that
aliens ain't take flight three, whatever flight that was.
Where the plane at? Where the plane at? Where the plane at? Where the plane at? Where the plane at?
We are not assigning events. Aliens, but we do believe that they exist.
Oh, yeah, but it was a 60 Minutes piece on it. I watched it.
We also know Area 51 is a thing.
Yeah.
There are task forces and whole science areas of study that are dedicated to this thing. So we never said that they didn't exist. What we're saying is, like, every time you see a shooting star, it's not going to be the end of Earth. We're not
going to
get colonized.
Jeff be trying to give aliens credit for
it. I'm telling you.
I cannot.
The pyramids. Anyway.
Slaves built the pyramids.
Slaves built them, but they were designed by aliens. It's in hieroglyphics. It's on the wall. Let's move on. I saw the 60 Minutes piece. I watched it intently. They talked to Rick Owens for life. So I watched the 60 Minutes piece. It was, you know, very good piece. They talked to some pilots, Air Force pilots who had seen them, like the ones who shot the footage, and they talked about their experiences. And it was a couple of them. They were flying in an area near Virginia Beach, and they said they saw them daily.
Mm-hmm.
They said they saw the aliens every day. They saw ships every day. They saw ships to the point where, like, they wasn't even tripping no more. They figured it was just like
that was a hub. It was like a hub.
A hub. Yeah. Yeah. See, this is my theory. You want to hear my theory?
What?
My theory.
Sure.
There are pods of them, and they. I believe they're under the ocean.
I was going to say that I've been more interested in underwater because there are now a set of. Because, you know, there's so much of the ocean we haven't explored because
90% of something that we haven't explored.
It's so dark and it's so heavy. The water pressure
and so deep.
It's so heavy. The deeper you go, it's not safe. Like, literally, like, it should just be smashed after a certain point, and it's freezing. Mm-hmm. So you can't even really kind of come out of a ship and look. And even having probes down there is dangerous to a certain point, because the thing about navigating space is that we can, in theory, look ahead and see where we're going and chart a course. Mm-hmm. But so, you know, you can say to a ship, like, we see this over here, we see this over here, this is this far away, you can chart a course. If you're in the ocean, you don't know what the fuck. If you ain't already been there, you don't know what it is. Like,
what you're gonna see.
Sonic, whatever, but even that has its limitations. But there are a couple of places. There's one place, I want to say it's somewhere off the coast of Southern California or maybe Northern California, but there's a place where about 3 miles out from shore, it looks like a shelf. It looks like a shelf cliff under the water. And it's a cave. And there is a common belief now amongst some oceanographers, some, you know, UFO chasers, whatever, and like a mix in between, that it is some kind of a flight station, you know, connector station.
It's the airport.
I
think they're underwater, which is why I think they were seeing so many of them in the Virginia area, because they come up from the water, and you know what they do, and then they go back down. So yes, and also just sidebar, there's been now two missions to Mars, right? Very interesting to me that they always show when the ship lands on Mars, they have like motorcycles and they have like, you know, other kind of pods that go out.
Right.
But they never tell us what they're finding. They just like, oh, we're riding around Mars. I'm like,
yes, they do. What are you talking about?
It's a rock or something like that.
Oh, they'd be like, oh, we found this water substance.
I think they find a lot of shit that they're not telling us. Civilizations up there. Same with the moon, because the moon shit never made sense to me. Like, we went to the moon and then we just stopped.
I don't think there's any other civilization in our solar system. Like, you see, that's we're traveling within our solar system. Solar system is one of thousands of solar systems. Thousands of galaxies.
Okay, y'all believe that.
Like, we're a jelly bean in a big ass 5-pound bag of jelly beans, right? So to me, I'm fine with thinking that we're the only, at least intelligent life force, right? In this solar system.
I'm just saying, I don't believe that.
But maybe not in the Milky Way, but in our solar system. Maybe not in our galaxy. Mm-hmm. Definitely not. But I do not believe we're the only intelligent life in our galaxy or in galaxies beyond, right? Okay. It's impossible to conceive that we would be the only intelligent life force, considering how infinite and vast the universe.
There's a common misconception about space that you can see too. Space is pitch black unless you're directly next to a planet. You can't land on a star, you'll die. So you can't see your hand in front of your face unless you're like on the moon.
No.
On Mars. So we
We can't.
Yeah, see. I mean us, the humans us. That can hear yes. this.
But we don't know what else is out there that can see very clearly.
Right. We might not be able to see them. Like, but if they can see us. Other life forces, or if they can meet us when they see us starting to approach the moon or whatever.
So here's the thing.
They can probably see us.
All right, you're gonna learn one day when they walk with these motherfuckers out.
In the Milky Way alone, which is our galaxy, right? There are 500 other solar systems at least, right? Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I can't believe that in our solar system, this one with our sun and our Earth and Jupiter and all that other shit, mm-hmm. I can believe that we are the intelligent life form in this one, our galaxy.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying. I don't think in our solar system.
There's 500 solar systems in our galaxy. There are 125 billion galaxies. I'm sorry, 225 billion galaxies in the observable universe. That means that. Oh, wait. Even not that. It went up to 2 trillion.
I think it's some niggas on Venus.
That's the other thing. In order to be a sentient being, you have to have a certain amount of environmental comfortability.
Yeah,
I don't know an organism that exists that is sentient that can withstand temperatures on any of the other planets in our solar system.
It's too much for you to take in. It's too much to comprehend.
I don't disagree.
I always say this. I'll move on. I was going to say a very controversial statement, but that opens up a huge can of worms, I don't feel like fussing.
I'm so glad, Sean.
Oh, bro would be wilding right now. What's the call started? Also, The Shy.
I didn't watch it.
It wasn't bad.
I haven't watched The Shy since the first season.
It wasn't bad.
Is it better than?
It's better than last season.
Okay.
Yes,
that's really all we need.
Yes, obviously the kids have gotten much older but it wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. You might okay. when you get a chance. So let's do. Peace to Ayanna Van Zant.
Peace to Ayanna.
The the episodes ended. They did a 2-part kind of wrap up this Saturday. So her series is Fix My Life is done. The wrap up was very good.
It was.
And she revealed a lot about herself, which I appreciated her brutal honesty about herself and a lot of things happening within her family. Her granddaughter doesn't talk to her and she lost a daughter.
Her son did time in prison. Works on the show.
Yeah, yeah. So she keeps it gully.
I really appreciated it,
I did.
It was very well done.
Yeah, it was very, very well done. And it just goes to show, I like that she's like, hey, just because I'm on TV and I've, made some money over the years, my shit ain't clean and perfect either.
Right.
Which is why she can kind of relate to these people, because it's like, yo, I literally am living what you're living. in certain cases. So I'm not like I'm standing, she's not standing on a pedestal like you need to fix this and that. She's like, nah, like I literally, you know, I've had the same issues that you have with your daughter or with your son or with, you know, she's been married 3 times. Like she was abused. Mm-hmm. She's been through a lot of shit, man. You know what I'm saying?
It made me feel a little bit guilty about just thinking she was kooky and like unqualified. Like I wish I had known more about how she got here before I started to watch the show, because some of it didn't make sense. But what I took away from it was that A, you have to meet people where they are. B, the healing never stops. Your work literally never stops. You're never going to get to a place where everything is 100% okay, because that's the human condition. But being able to like get through that and continue to live in love and live in kindness and giving grace to other people. Yeah. I think it's a lifelong journey. And I so appreciate that she was at times stern with people and at times gentle with people, but like really gave them what they needed at that moment to be able to move past some horrific event or circumstances. Like,
I think Ayala probably assumes that everybody knows her story. So like, for example, I was put up on Ayala in the late 90s when she did like her Value in the Valley series of her goals and all that stuff. And one of those things, and at the time, for a young, like, what was I, like 20-year-old Naima, Value in the Valley like changed my life in terms of me examining my relationships and some of the things that I had been through as I was like coming into adulthood. But it also told like her whole messy
life.
So even though her life continued to be messy, because then after that, you know, she fell out with Oprah, or that one-sided fallout with Oprah, you know, and all the other stuff that continued to happen to her. And this is her. Mom's here, guys. Bye, Mom.
Hello. Hey.
So.
Hi, Miss Norma. Hi.
So, she, you know, I think she might have come into this show with the assumption that people know her background, not realizing like Ayala's first big moment was almost 30 years
ago. A long time ago. She dropped a couple of jewels. One, Ayala is not a name. It's a title. It means queen. I didn't know that.
I think I knew that.
It means queen mother or
queen mother. Yeah, she's like, she said like that. She's
village
like,
mother.
Yeah, she said, yeah, she's like, you know, my born name is Rhonda. Rhoda, was it Rhonda or Rhoda?
Rhonda.
And then she's like, you know, but I changed my name, whatever. But yeah, but she's like, everybody thinks Ayala is my name. It's not. It's a title.
I knew her.
I didn't know that.
Ayala. I knew her given name wasn't.
Yeah, I knew her given name was Ayala, but I didn't know Ayala meant was a title and not a name. The other thing she said, which I picked up on, a lot of people think that Ayala's misogynistic. And she talked about this. She said, no. Mm-hmm. She said, if I can get a man, a black man especially, to open up to me and like really like deal with feelings and emotions, I have to massage that, and I have to make it become a space and make him very comfortable to do that. It's different with women, because women tend to be a little more in touch with their emotions than men. So if I can get, I have to do things to get the man to open up, and people kind of take it as me always picking the man's side, but I'm not. I'm just getting him to a space where he can cry and, you know, whatever it is he's been holding in for, you know, 30 to 40 years, whatever, he's willing to let out on television at that. I have to like give him a space to do that. Again, so she talked about
like it still comes at the expense of the women sometimes, but I'll let that run.
Yeah. So, but anyway, it was a very good special. It was 2 hours, you know, two separate hours. So it was very good. The wrap up is excellent. I want to talk about this new, I don't know if it's a trend, you know, you never know what's really a trend via social media. It's just, it could be 3 things and they made it a trend, but lately there's been more and more videos of women proposing to men.
Has it been lately?
I feel like the talk about it has kicked up. Maybe that's what it is. And so I wanted to know what y'all think about that. Is that like some foul shit for a woman to do? Do you only want it the traditional way? Is it, are we in a place now in a world where things are equal and women can oppose the men and not be quote unquote playing themselves or whatever? What do y'all think as women?
As a staunch feminist, I am pro-choice with proposals. If that's what you want to do with your life, you've had that conversation and, you know, you, whatever. If that's what you want and, you know, that nigga's going to say yes, because that's how I feel about public proposals, is that don't have me out here looking crazy and we haven't ever talked about marriage. But if that's, I mean, by all means, do you. I'm not mad at it. As for me and my African-American home, we are extremely traditional. Trav takes out the trash and makes most of the money. I take care of the kids, the house, and the cleaning. Mm-hmm. I also knew how important it was for him to propose to me. He's very into like rituals, tradition, ceremony. So that's not something I would take.
You wouldn't take from him. Yeah.
Because I know how he is, not something he really wanted to
now, do. Do you feel that's a thing? And maybe this is a question I need to be answered, but do you think that feel that's a thing where men feel like that's being taken from them?
I don't think it's that. I think because I'm not. I don't even see men as outraged about it as other women.
Yeah, women are pissed off.
Right.
So here's my thought. Right. Like, I firmly believe that dating roles, the roles ascribed to the to men and women, or boy, even from boys and girls, in terms of dating and relationships, are way outdated, and they set a foundation for us to have conflict like for the rest of our lives in terms of what men are supposed to be doing, what women are supposed to be doing, and what makes women fast or men dogs, and who, and that's the reason why people tripping on Lori Harvey and whatever the fuck, but they praise Future, like all that shit, right? And that starts from early. That said, even though I think it is outdated, like what Inka said, if you guys have talked and you already, like some people before the proposal comes, you have actually had discussion and there's an understanding y'all are going to get married, right? Like you talked about this. It just hasn't been a formal ring presented. I could see maybe like y'all sitting on a couch and whatever, and you like, so let's do this. Am I fucking presenting you with something in public to ask you to marry me? Absolutely the fuck not. Because
you wouldn't. So you wouldn't do the public thing.
Because the thing I do know is that the way things are, and I shouldn't say the thing I do know, because I know of a couple of people who aren't friends but acquaintances who got married and the wife did propose, but
really
her husband was enthusiastic about it and maybe meant to, just hadn't, she just beat him to the punch, like whatever. But
were these public proposals?
I don't think so. Okay. But that said, one thing that I feel is true based on my experience and based on how relationships work today in 2021, I may feel differently about this later, is that if a man wants to ask you to marry him, if he is ready to get married to you, if this is something that is on his heart and in his mind, he will ask you. And if you ask him before then, he may agree to it, but may not have actually been ready to agree to it. And I don't believe that you can push a man into anything they're not ready for in a relationship without that shit blowing back on you later. I know niggas will be like, oh, I didn't think I want. They'll post that make that Instagram post 6 years in, be like, for 4 years I was out here running around and doing whatever, and she just forced me to stay in it and be a good man, and now I finally realized that I love her last week. Like, no, I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to do a guilt marriage. I'm not trying to do no shotgun marriages. I'm not trying to do no, you know, we ain't getting no, we might as well do this marriage. Like, I'm not,
you know,
trying
what, to do that. You know what's, I want funny about that?
Enthusiastic partnership.
We know what's funny about that. Like, I don't know, I don't know if people caught up on this. Like, on Ready to Love, the theme song, have you ever noticed, Inka? The theme song, the guy singing, he said, this is the theme song. He says, it took me some time to realize, da, 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 but now I'm ready to love. It's like, nigga, what? Like, that's the theme song of the show. Like, the guy was just saying, like, yeah, I didn't really know if I wanted to be with you, but then something happened and I realized, and now I'm ready. I'm like, that's not really a positive.
Speaking of ready, I'm going to put a pin in that because I'm going to come back to that.
Yeah, we're going to do Ray Love.
I think I have more of an issue with proposing in public places than I do with who's proposing. Honestly.
You just don't like
such an intimate
thing.
Like contract to kind of veer into, I guess. And like, it's cool to have like your family there or whatever, but I don't like the idea of
Don't do it in a food court.
Part of your,
don't do it in a food court. Or down to the hookah lounge.
Or like on the big screen at a ball game, like stuff like that. It wears me out a little bit. But I mean, if you try to propose, also, like, where does this leave like genderqueer people not on the on the traditional binary lesbian gay couples? Where does this leave them?
That's interesting too. I mean, I think they have to figure it out for themselves. What's interesting is that I've seen this more than once that just proves that they be on completely different wavelengths than us, where one partner in a gay couple is about to propose and the other partner has the ring like in their bag.
And the other partner pulls out.
I've seen this multiple times.
That's my favorite.
I feel like they be on some other shit than us, just 100%. Clearly, with the removal of that kind of pressure of who has to do what.
Who has to do it.
Which says a lot. But like I said, for me, it's not even so much about the role situation as it is about the fact that where we are and how things are right now, what I do know is that, like, if a man wants to ask you to marry, he's going to ask you to marry. My thing is just, you're putting yourself in a position to always be the one to have to move things forward.
Right? Set it off.
Everything, and that's a horrible position to be in a relationship, and it takes so much responsibility for just manning up off a nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, commit to, like, this is what I want to do and I'm gonna plan this. And public proposals, like, if you know your person wants, some people want that shit, right? If you know that's what they want, that's
same, yeah.
But everybody, some people are doing it because it's what they think will look good and not what their partner would want, and I'm not really with that. Like, you have to know if your person is a public proposal person or a private proposal person, you know?
So I mean, I just found that and again, I don't want to call it like a new thing because I don't know how much it actually happens, but I just found it interesting. I just found it interesting how the, like, I think, Inky, you said how the differences with the way women and men were reacting to it. I thought that was, like, because women were like, "Bitch, you playing yourself. Fuck that. I would never get down on my knee for some nigga." Blah, blah, blah.
Getting down on one knee.
Never get on any
No. I've seen this one out
that's
now.
That's a no.
Gal got
she
on
kneeled on the fucking no. concrete.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, on I the would concrete not with a naked knee.
I also would not give no nigga a ring because the whole purpose of a ring is to signify some sort of really weird kind of possessive, like, type of, you know, I don't know. It's but
it's like holding your place until you actually fathom that.
It makes no sense to me for a woman to give a man a ring in an engagement, even because rings themselves are, you know, a fucking antiquated concept that has nothing to do with what we think it has to do with. But that's a whole other story.
Agreed, also, but I do love my ring.
I'm 100% not getting on my knee.
You ain't getting down on the knee for a nigga?
That goes back to
some in front of my good. Mama, nigga? Are you
yeah, yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
goes back to good shit. No, I'm good. I'm not doing that.
No, okay. I'll ask you any question you want me to ask you.
But not on my knee.
Not on my knee.
This is another topic I wish Sean was here for because I know he would have been spazzing. let's talk real quick. Let's talk Ready to Love.
This show is just, hold on, I'm gonna lock this out on the patio.
All right, cool. We're gonna skip to something else, so we get back to it then. Nye, what did you think about Ellen quitting her show or retiring or whatever she's
doing? I think it's time. It's been a long ass fucking time.
Yeah, it is, and she's not getting I don't really watch the show, but I don't feel like she's getting those that top tier guest that she was getting a few years ago when she was like literally getting everybody.
Right. I think that daytime TV is tricky depending on what it is you're trying to promote, right? And in this day and age when there's so much content to compete against, I think that's been really telling. 2020 was really telling about in terms of consumption. I think that network TV probably lost a lot over everybody else in terms of who was grabbing eyes and viewers, because for one, we weren't on any type of schedule of any real sort anymore. So that whole thing of I'm watching this at this time, this at this time, is out the window.
Sunday at 9 o'clock, I'm watching Bravo. That shit's dead.
But also, you know, streaming shot way up. But also, Ellen's reputation has taken a hit in the past couple of years for, you know, allegations of how she treats people on set and her temperament and her attitude, which goes so counter to
her image,
the friendliest woman in the world, beforehand, right? But I also just think like Ellen's kind of childish, and I don't say childish insulting, I mean childlike. Ellen's childlike joy and energy that's so much part of her brand don't really work anymore because Ellen looks like she's like she looks like
she's 65 years old, I think.
And she's, about starting, that, yeah. and she's starting to look like a 60, right? Not that there's anything wrong with
that. I'm saying, but like, I think so. About let me look it up. Is she about that? Yeah, she's been in the game for a long time. Like
60, I think. But it doesn't work for her brand. She's about to get in a space where she looks like she's trying too hard to seem young.
Yeah.
And so she didn't really give herself a brand that she could age with. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it's...
Ellen's 63.
Yeah, I think it's time. She's starting to look like a 60. Yeah.
And I think also, like, I mean, and God willing, I'll get here one day, but I think you get to the point where you got so much fucking paper. It's like, why am I doing this?
It's for what?
This is bullshit. Like,
here's her hands and so much
$100 million in the bank. Like, why am I going out to...
I didn't know she sold, like, underwear and sheep and shit.
Wild paper. Like, why
she's am I... She's on that Mary-Kate and Ashley train.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you want me to go to work? Are you kidding me?
Billionaires. Or piece to... I just want to... Because Jessica Simpson, I think, is a genius.
Oh, yeah.
She Jessica is. Simpson has $1 billion.
Yep. She's like Mary-Kate and Ashley.
2.5, which is bananas.
Is that what she's at now? 2.5?
It's like 2, yeah.
It's because of her clothing line, like her
shoes. I know, yeah.
But like, it's crazy. Everything. It's like sheets and shoes and
furniture
frames and
all the Target shit, all the Walmart.
She's got like pots and pans and seasonings and shit. She lit. Like she out here.
And that stuff, that stuff, they just keep renewing the shit seasonal.
Yeah, because like it keeps selling. It so why wouldn't? Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Just keep going, and the output that the personal work that you have to put into it is so much smaller year over year. There's less personal work you got to put.
They basically just email you some shit and be like, "You like these pants? All right, we putting your name right here."
That's what Chrissy's on. Like Chrissy Teigen, when she was first designing her cookware line, I was still on, and we were talking about it. And she was like, "Yo, I'm trying to get to that point where like I could just be in the house and make money."
Yeah.
And granted, she's actually branching out. Like she's about to open a restaurant and she's doing even more. But still, that was her goal. Like, it gets to a point where your shit is just out there working.
You can't even keep up with the bread that's coming.
Like Jessica Alba and that Honest Baby company.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you in the kids aisle, like so many celebrities have started to like put out tiny collections of like their own diapers and stuff like that. I think
even Old Girl
Bell is the latest.
Old Girl,
her shit is great.
Old girl from Real Housewives too, Bethany with the wine and all that, the like the skinny girl. Skinny girl shit, popcorn.
Bethany ended up becoming like the richest out of all of them, which is the brokest out of all of them.
Out of New York ladies for sure.
Yeah,
actually, Bethany was the reason why Bravo changed their contracts for.
Oh, because they didn't eat off that.
So now any brand that you launch on that show, they get a
because
popcorn's in every fucking bodega in New York City. That skinny pop, that shit's
skinny
everywhere.
Pop isn't hers, that's different.
Hers I thought that was her.
Skinny pop is there. She is skinny girl.
All right, never mind.
Skinny girl, but she has jeans, she has all kind of shit.
Her jeans are amazing.
But actually, this licensing conversation is a good transition to the Halston doc. Did you watch it yet, Jeff?
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm gonna.
I saw the first episode.
I'm gonna watch it.
I won't get too much into it, but so it's Ryan Murphy, and it's the same director who did the Gianni Versace joint.
Okay.
Ryan Murphy, right? And I think that one might have been FX, but it's
it was FX,
yeah. But it's so it has a similar feel to it as that, but just a really great. I didn't know a lot about Halston.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about him either. I just know he was hot in Studio 54.
He burned really hot and then went away. And this this explains why. And Halston actually, I knew it was one of those situations, kind of like a Calvin Klein where like the line had, or a Liz Claiborne where the line had gone, an Anne Klein where the line had been like really big and then gone kind of off-brand, mid-brand.
Mid-America.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then, like, come back. And Halston has relaunched a few years ago, and they're back to, like, Neiman's level, Bergdorf level, whatever.
Oh, flash it. Okay.
It's called Halston Heritage. So I actually have pieces from Halston Heritage, but they, mm-hmm. because they fit my body type really well, but it's not like, but his thing was, what I didn't realize about the, until I watched this, is that almost all designers were heralding him as like one of the most brilliant fashion designers they had ever seen, because his most famous pieces were cut on the bias with one seam. Like, a whole dress had one continuous seam. Like, he would spread the fabric, make one rip, drape it on the person, like, find a way to sew it up, just one seam, right? And it would be this amazing flowing, fitting, whatever, you know. He invented ultra suede and all of that. And but the problem is, he went into business with a big conglomerate who was not in fashion. Oh, and he had at one point one of the best-selling perfumes, period, like in the world.
I remember the perfume.
But he did not realize that he wasn't just licensing his name, because this is what they were telling him. If you could do licensing.
So he sold his shit and didn't realize it.
He sold his name. Like, he didn't like, and they were licensing it out, but he literally could not work under his name, you know, if it wasn't something that they were doing. And that's what killed him. And he did that deal, this deal with JC, to do a line of JCPenney's, which made all the high end.
You made it shit janky. You made it shit janky.
Yeah, Bergdorf was like, get him out, my. Mm-hmm. But the timeline and the way it went is fascinating. I think I have forgotten or didn't know that famous party with Bianca Jagger on the horse was thrown by Halston. I don't think I knew
That's Studio 54, before. Right?
Yeah, yeah, that one picture that everybody knows of Bianca Jagger coming in on the horse, Halston was throwing her that birthday party. So it's just a great look at the excess of the 80s. But also just a really interesting look at him and, like, the business decisions. You know, he was, like, best friends with Liza Minnelli. And Ilsa Peretti, who did who designed the famous Tiffany bone cuffs, necklace, all that, started with him. As did, what's my man's name? It'll come back to me, but he's a film director who started with
you. Peace to the actress playing Liza Minnelli. Also,
she's so good.
Oh my God,
she just looks just like her.
She's so young, Liza.
She's got the bright eyes and so manners. Liza. Like, she is rough.
The face, that Cupid doll face. Like, she's so young, Liza. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, I thought Liza was dead for some reason, and she's
not.
Nah, she's still around. I think David Guest.
David Guest is gone. He's going. I was gonna say Gloria.
Yeah, but that was her last husband, and I don't think we've heard from her since then.
No, okay, we haven't. Because there's also, after this, there's a Halston doc that's on Prime, I think. And everybody told me after I watched the series, I should watch the doc. Eliza's in the doc. Okay.
I'm gonna check it out. One more thing, and then we'll do Radio Love. There's a show on HBO Max called Hacks.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It's starring Jean Smart. Who's been on fire lately? Who knew that woman, designing woman, would be like this master thespian?
I appreciate the shit out of her third act. Like,
incredible. So she's starring in this show. She's playing a kind of like a Joan Rivers, Phyllis Diller-ish type of, like, you know, Vegas old white lady, Vegas comedian who, like, went through. A lot of her shit's based on Joan Rivers, like, life subtly. Like, she went through a lot of shit and everything. And then this young, she's in Vegas, and her act is, you know, she's like rich. You can't even imagine. But her act is tired. And so they send this young white girl writer to kind of spruce up her act. And it's about, like, their interactions and, you know, the people around her and stuff like that. But it's a very funny, show, but it has a lot of, you know, it has a lot of depth as well. And, you know, Jean, I just love watching Jean Smart work because she's ridiculous. So I definitely suggest Axe. Ready to Love, real quick, Inka. This show
is an hour of emotional abuse for everyone involved.
Do we like this show or not?
I hate it, but I can't.
It's like a hate watch. Exactly.
I have to know what's going to happen with these people. I have to know if Liz finds love with one of these sorry ass niggas that they put on the show.
Shitting on Liz,
Liz,
man.
Is a fucking star.
Liz is dope.
And all of them are shitting on it because she has standards. Because
she ain't with the bullshit.
Going for like Alexis, who's bizarrely aggressive. I don't want to.
Sexually aggressive.
I hate calling like, a black woman aggressive, but like.
She's sexually the girl aggressive,
is
crazy.
Out here asserting up like, in everybody's face. And
making yeah. you say I'm your, you know I'm your number one. I'm like, listen, mom, chill out.
He's to Kyra. I want to be like Kyra when I grow up, because she had four niggas calling her number one.
Word.
And you know, I have to stand. I have no choice but to stand.
The show
she's not
is
giving them anything.
Nothing.
And they are eating it up. And nothing. I love it but for her.
What I find with Liz and Vernicia now. Who to me are the two most kind of like grown women. Uh-huh. Like, and I don't mean they're not, I don't even know if they're like, maybe they're the oldest one, but they're not old by no stretch. They're like 40 years old. They're not like,
I think
65.
They're the oldest left. Yeah.
But I think the problem that the guys are having with those two women is they are grown. When I say grown, I don't mean chronologically. I mean,
you mean they don't need a man to,
and they know what they want. And they know what they want. It's like, this is what I want, period. Now, you can't do it, cool, but I'm not going to fuck around and play games with you. And I think that Joelle with Vernicia and Liz and David with Liz is like, it's like, oh, I can't play games that I might can't do things. I can't get over on them.
Right. They're very firm. They're seeing all your bullshit.
They're very firm in who they are and what they want.
Joelle really turned me off this episode because I really like him, but just the fact that she said the word marriage is like all of a sudden like she's not your number one anymore because your weird ass best friend said that was a red flag, and I'm just like, but girl, like why are
you
here?
Watch the show. Why is that the point of the show? That's what I'm
saying.
That's
the fucking point. She said my goal is to find someone that I like so much on this show that we're the first married couple to result. From a ready to love.
From ready to love.
And they just like went in on her like it was some crazy concept.
Like, you're clingy. You're clingy. You're clingy.
What's everybody else here for?
And also, that irked me. And what irked me also about that is previous to this, Joelle was, because for those who don't know, Joelle, he's not a widower, by the way. The nigga's fronting. Because him and his wife were divorced. He wasn't with her, they were divorced. And then she and divorced for a little bit, like for a year or two, they were divorced. Like they were together, and then his wife passed away of cancer. But they were not together.
To say.
The way he be spinning, like, "Oh, we had a great marriage." I'm like, "Then why didn't you get the divorce, nigga?" The nigga literally said, "We had a great, great marriage." I'm like, "Then how did you get divorced?"
I officially want him gone.
And so,
you don't deserve love.
You don't deserve love, exactly. So,
I'm kidding. Everybody deserves love.
But he has two children, I think.
And he has two kids, yeah.
And Vernicia has three. Mm-hmm. And so early on, he was saying, yeah, I'm trying to find a woman who also could be compatible with my children. And I think she could because she raises kids and she has that energy, like when she would be a good mom. So I'm saying, you're saying all these things to her. And then when she says marriage, then you bug out. It's like, my nigga, like you've been leading her down this road. I didn't like that at all. I didn't like that at all. And then David got pissed off because Liz told him, Jason kissed me when they went on
AK. Yeah.
So now, nigga, again, but that's what we're here for.
Right. And you also know how I rock, and you know we're not having sex.
Yeah. Nigga kissed
like,
me. Okay.
Do you think I'm not going to date no other niggas? And you being a weirdo over here and picking Kyra when I didn't even know she was on the radar?
Exactly. Like, the show, like you said, the show, like but we watch every week because it drives us crazy. So peace
it's
to
so
Ray.
Abusive.
Peace to Ray, love. So we up to the last. It's very abusive. It's very abusive. Very abusive. We're up to
now,
the last.
Imagine you go on, like somebody invites you on a date to like a fly ass place and you got the whole place to yourself.
You're dressed up.
Custom drinks. You're dressed up. And they invited you there to tell you that you're kicked off the show.
Yo.
One-on-one.
I'd be offended.
You and a nigga that you're kind of interested in. And he brought you there to tell you everything wrong with you. and why you're being kicked off.
And why and you're not ready to love.
Every week. They do this every week.
That's rude. That's absolutely rude.
It's brutal. So it's brutal.
Fucking abusive. It's not okay.
No, they do this now. So they pick two people. So one gets kicked off, but usually one doesn't. But they don't know. They're sitting there like, am I getting kicked off? What's going on? And then at the end, the guy be like, we decided that you're still ready to love. And they're like, holy shit, I thought I was gone. It's too much for production.
They don't tell you that you're still ready for to love until they've after they told you everything's wrong with you.
Yeah.
Then they're like, we decided to keep you, but you don't answer text messages.
But get your shit together.
Yeah, like, what? It's so bad, man. Like,
oh my God.
So I would not watch if Jeff wasn't like,
I'm in.
You
have to watch it because it's crazy. It's crazy. So and put a ring on it's coming back on, by the way, too.
I'm not doing that.
You got to do it with me. Come on, B. Don't leave me hanging.
Don't leave me hanging.
Last episode of Mare is coming up. We have no idea who the killer is.
Wait. I gotta go.
I'm not gonna do no spoilers. I'm just saying.
I promise you
no spoilers. I'm just saying, like, the next episode is the last one. This episode, we thought some shit and then pulled the rug out at the, like, wait, what? So, like, we don't know what's going on and who the killer is, but there's some big developments in episode, this is episode 6. It's some big developments, some big, like, oh, shits. Some big old shits. A couple of, like, yo, it's a lot happened.
Also, a piece to Freddie and the Black family on this show.
Poor Freddie. Man. I did that. Poor Freddie.
With the needle in his arm. She knew, though. She knew. The sister knew. She knew.
Yeah, that's why she called Mayor, though. Yeah.
3 days. So, like, is that the house that they used to live, that they grew up in?
I have no idea what that house is.
I think that's probably the house they grew up in.
Yeah, I think the parents live with her now.
Yeah, but I think that was the house that the Black family grew up in, because that's why he always goes back there.
Right.
But yeah, so it was Mayor. If you're not watching Mayor of Eastwood, man, I'm Easttown.
Easttown.
It's you're tripping. That show is phenomenal. Like,
and also just a fucking masterclass in acting.
Everybody.
It's
crazy.
Peace to Jean Smart.
Jean Smart acting. Killing it. Like this, even like you said, the supporting characters, the kids, the teenagers and the little kids.
The kids are doing it.
Like little Drew is crazy with it. Like,
yeah.
Like, they're incredible, man. So, peace to them, man. Let me check this time real quick because I want to see how much time we got left. Okay, we got time for maybe a quick one, and then we got gotta say peace to Paul Mooney and his family.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. to Paul Mooney, passed away of a heart attack, correct?
Allegedly.
Well, I think he's just elderly at this
point. He was 80.
Rumors, 79. There were rumors for the last like damn near a decade that Paul had dementia. At one point, somebody around him who was like his manager, but kind of like a janky manager, said he had cancer. And then
I remember the cancer thing.
Yeah, it's been. And then a former manager, I did an obit on Paul for a publication, so I was looking through the stuff. A former manager said that basically he had a bunch of people around him right now that didn't have interest at heart.
Of course, taking advantage.
Yeah, near him for proximity because Paul was back in the Bay.
He went back to Oakland.
Yeah, and where he's from, where he grew up. Mm-hmm. And but because, you know, he was on the road till 2017.
Yeah.
Like, for those last couple of years, there were a lot of reports that, like, he loses train of thought in the middle of, because it's not like he does really structured stand up.
No, he's just kind of just winging it.
Talk to the audience and do whatever, just but talking, you can tell, like, at first it might be like, well, is this part of, because sometimes Paul shit makes you a little uncomfortable, like, is this part of the joke? But then it would just go on too long, right? Like, it's been a rough last few years for him and for his reputation, because he even was faced with allegations that he apparently, like, molested Richard Pryor Jr.
He denied,
but Richard Pryor Jr.
is sticking to that story.
So I mean, it has not been enough to kill his legacy, right?
But
it was getting rough there. One of those things that kind of better that he go out as, you know, a hero.
Yeah. Then it gets more messy. And he, you know, and for a long time, I don't know how many years, but for many years, Paul lived in Harlem. Like, I would see him, like, like, 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
Just on the street. I mean, not on some dementia shit. He would be outside, just going to the store, walking, people coming up to him, talking, you know, he talking back to people. And I lived on 123rd between Lenox and 7th. I believe he had a place on Lenox or right off of Lenox. That's, I would always see him on the Lenox side. But like, all the like to the point where it was like wouldn't even look twice, like nothing to see Paul Mooney like walking around Harlem just always dressed that way. He always had the scarf on, like he was distinctive. It wasn't like he was trying to hide. He was like,
I also think that Paul, one thing about New York is that you can move around, maybe not so much because there's so many people who aren't from here who have moved here, but you can move around New York fairly anonymously no matter who you are, right? Like motherfuckers don't typically like rush you here. It's just poor form, like, you know. But the thing about Paul is that he, even though he moved, mentored, wrote for all the big superstar black comedians, he never hit that same superstar level. He was a behind the scenes cat. And a lot of people say it's because his temperament was so terrible, but well, not temperament, but more like he wasn't, like he was playing no politics ever.
No, not at all.
Like ever. And, but I think that afforded him like a kind of ability to be among the people.
Yeah, to move around.
Yeah.
And not be like, have security and all that shit.
Yeah.
Last thing I wanted to mention, and I know Brug gonna be mad at this one, I wanted to mention Kwame Brown. So
I know I'm the only person on earth who has not been following this at all.
Okay, I'll give you a breakdown. I'll give you a breakdown. So Kwame Brown was a number one draft pick in the for the NBA, I think 20 years ago. I think it was like 2000 or 2001. Straight out of high school. He's a South Carolina kid, but he went to high school in Georgia. And got drafted number one by the Washington Wizards, who at that time were being run by Michael Jordan. And, you know, Michael was very, you know, verbally abusive to him. He's a kid. He's 18 years old. He's verbally abusive to him. He really, like, shitted on him.
We know Mike.
Yeah, exactly. So it don't...
Fuck them kids, Jordan.
Exactly. It don't sound, like, crazy. You know what I'm saying? It couldn't have happened. And then eventually he left and it went from frying pan to fire because he got traded to the Lakers, where he had the same type of clashes with Kobe. Because Kobe was basically like Michael, like he'd shit on niggas and like, you know, you ain't shit, nigga, blah, blah, blah. So Kwame had a tough time of it in the league. He ended up playing 12, 13 years, made a substantial amount of money, and retired, you know, unceremoniously. He never became like a superstar or anything. He was like a role player. It was okay. He wasn't great, but you know, made a decent amount of money, and you know, moved back to Charleston, moved back to Charleston, South Carolina, and has been living his life quietly. Right? No, you know, he's never talked ever. Like, no interviews, nothing. He just went back, bought his house and everything, and lived his life. But for years, he's been like a joke, like a butt of a joke. So it's like, you know, like, cause he's like the flop number one guy. Right. And they've been joking on him and talking shit about it for like 20 years. He's never said a word. And so
didn't he play long enough to retire from the NBA though? Didn't he play like,
I think he's got a pension and everything. Like, he's good.
Yeah.
He's good. He's not fucked up. He's living very comfortably. Very comfortably. And he's only probably 40 years old now. He's not old.
Right.
He's a young guy. So, so he's never said a word in the press or anything. It's been like Stephen A. and Stephen Jackson and Matt Barnes, they have a podcast, and they've shit on. And other people over the years. And only, interestingly, the only person that's really stuck up for him was this guy, Jalen Rose. He's like, yo, don't call him a bust. He played in the league 13 years. He made money. He's good. Like, it's like, don't call, that's disrespectful to call him that. So anyway, Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes were having an interview with Jeannie Buss, who owns the Lakers, who was, like I said, like she was responsible for bringing Kwame to the Lakers. And she was talking about the trade and they said some slick shit. And she didn't respond to it, to her credit. She was like, basically like, nah, I'm not going to talk about him like that. Like, I'm just going to keep talking. And Kwame saw that and he's like, yo, enough is enough. And then Kwame's been on basically like a 2-week rant every day, multiple videos, like I shitting on niggas.
These videos in his car.
Just in his car, in his house, just shitting on dudes, right? And dudes, hey, Ivy, and dudes are like, they getting at him like, yo, man, you need to just Charlamagne the God, all of them. And like, yo, man, you need to chill, you need to chill. And he's like, yo, I haven't said anything for 20 years. And you dudes have been clowning me for 20 years. And now I say something for 8 days and you guys are upset at me when I've let you rock out for 20 years. I was talking crazy about me and none of you guys. And the thing is, he played with Steven Jackson and he played with Matt Barnes. So he's like, y'all know me. Y'all know I don't play these games and I still let y'all ride out for 20 years. And now I give y'all 10 days of hell and now y'all upset. So I see what he's saying and he's got some valid points. Like, yo, man, like, y'all talking crazy. And he says, like, yo, you always are tearing black men down on your show. And you're trying to tear, and nobody really speaks up. But he's like, you're trying to tear me down. And I'm not having it, especially because I've never said anything about either one of you. I don't talk about y'all. So there's no need. Y'all are on the wrong here. And instead of admitting you're wrong, you want to try to keep this going. And you're losing the battle. So I just find it, I find it interesting. But again, you know, y'all don't really know the background, but.
Yeah, we need Sean for this.
I didn't even need the background though, because the rants are funny, but.
They're funny, but they're all based in truth.
Right. But I had to stop after a while. Like, I posted last week that Kwame Brown is my new favorite content genre. He was reminding me of when I first discovered Chad Ochocinco on Hard Knocks, when they did the Bengals Hard Knocks, right? And I was like, who the fuck is this ignorant ass funny ass? And that's what I was feeling like. But then Kwame apparently has a YouTube channel and has had a YouTube channel.
Yeah, for a long time.
And I knew there was gonna be some fuck shit coming at some point, but apparently, like, people were linking me to him saying that, like, Breonna Taylor deserved what she got. She was hanging out with
him. Yeah, he's also MAGA.
Yeah, he's also MAGA. But that's South Carolina,
like,
anyway.
A half second. But then I was like, okay, this nigga cooning. I can't.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't agree with, you know, most of his politics, you know, but I disagree with his stance as far as this goes, which is like, y'all been bothering me, and now when I finally stand up for myself, now y'all want to like Charlamagne the God sent a cease and desist to him. He's like, bro, are you kidding me? You shit on the people on the radio every day, and now you want to tell me that I can't talk about you?
That's crazy.
That's the story. You buried the lead here.
Yeah. So he's like, y'all got to be fucking kidding me. You're going to podcast and shit about people all the time. Charlamagne's on the radio all the time.
Wait, now I wonder if Charlamagne does that as a regular practice. Like,
that's a good question.
Yeah. Now I need to hear the Charlamagne rant.
That's a random. Out of all the motherfuckers who got shit to say about Charlamagne, that seems very random. Makes me wonder if this isn't standard practice for him. Could be.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I just find this whole thing interesting. And Kwame, he's still going. He taps in pretty much every day. So we'll see where this goes. I think that might be it for now.
I feel like I had 75 things to tell you. I was watching, what happened, and I got nothing.
I feel
nothing.
Like I'm missing some things.
I don't know.
Next week. Master of None is back.
Yes. I started watching.
On Lena's character story. The first episode fucked me up a little bit, so I'm going to come back to it a little later.
Yeah, I'm only like 15
warning, minutes. It does involve like some black woman pregnancy things. Okay. So if that's a sensitive spot for you, then don't watch the first episode. But the set design and the farm that they're on is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, and I want to live there.
I forgot to have a shout out because they listen to the pod. They might not listen this week, but they'll listen eventually. I want to shout out my Chapasaur and my special, Kalea and her husband, Jay. They are expecting a little girl, Indigo, very soon, but they have their,
yay!
Yeah, they have
little girls with names that start with I. And
but they had their baby shower on Saturday, and it was the via Zoom on or Sunday. One of them days, Saturday. No, whatever. This weekend, via
this
Zoom.
Weekend.
Via Zoom. Sunday was Sunday. Via Zoom. But it was the most creative thing I'd ever seen. Like, even though they had everybody logged on and they were very clear to, like, log on at a certain time because we had things planned, they did it as almost like a show, like a special. So, like, somebody was interviewing Kalea and her husband, and they did two of the baby games that way, almost as though it were a game show.
Okay.
And they did some other ones. They had sent out the games in advance and asked people to send in their answers. So they would, like, show the leaderboard up on the Zoom screen as to who had said what, so that you could see what the winners were, who the winners were in first. And people could also guess in the chat, but they'd be like, you can guess in the chat, but it's too late for your answer to count. But go ahead and guess in the chat. Like that kind of thing. And then since they were at home, they took us on a tour of the baby's nursery, and
that's dope. That's dope.
Oh my god, I love that.
Come in and her little library. It was just a really, and then of course showed some of, like, video tributes, advice, and all. It was just, like, a really well done, and it was a tight hour. And because people weren't able to talk, like, we were all able to talk to each other in the chat and send comments, but it was, like, a really tight hour. But it still felt very intimate. And it flowed, and it was entertaining, and it was just different. So I just wanted to shout them out, because also she's in a showroom for a couple of Netflix. I mean, a writer's room for a couple of Netflix shows. So she's always been creative like that, but it was just really well done. So I wanted to shout y'all out, Kalea and
Dave. Peace to baby Indigo.
Hey.
That's a blessing. That's this reminded me what I was gonna say. So I spent way longer at home than I was supposed to. I went to Maryland just for a couple days around Ivy's birthday. But just peace to home, feeling like home. Being able to touch and see my people again. Peace to Black culture. God, I don't realize like how isolated I am here until I get to a brunch and there's like a 50th birthday party in the section next to us, and we all joined in our happy birthday.
And
it felt like
Stevie Wonder version.
Of course. And the white people who were having a baby shower in the other section were kind of looking like we were aliens. Like, oh, do they all know each other? And you know what?
But you know what?
This is the culture that you think we don't have. This is what you're witnessing.
To that point, I've been thinking about, for some reason, I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, why? What are some of the reasons that white folks get so mad at us, right? And there's many.
They ain't got no culture.
And yes. But to that point, it's because for now 400 plus years, all the horrific things that we don't even get into that have been done to us are still happening, right? We're still getting shot in the street. It's still crazy. We still find these pockets of joy.
Yeah, we have that. The joy is unrelenting.
It's unrelenting. When we link up, that joy is unrelenting, overwhelming. That love feeling is so powerful. It drives them insane because it's almost like they won't die.
Some folks really resent that we were able to create this beautiful
thing. Most folks.
I'm trying to be gentle.
You gotta be nice.
Just that we were able to, like, even with the Stevie Wonder birthday song, like, he wrote that about a Black man. It's from a Black man's mind. We still sing it, and it's better than the shit you tried to get at.
He also wrote it literally to get a bill passed to honor. You know, it was like, it's a lobby song, really. But I think this, actually, one other thing we should mention before we log off is, like, in the upcoming days is the centennial of the Tulsa massacre.
Congress.
Yeah, the New York Times, by the way, has a dynamic 3D piece that actually takes you through, like, the main business district of Greenwood, which is what was known as Black Wall Street, before the riots, to actually highlight, like, what businesses were in what buildings, who the owners were, how long they had been there, like, all that stuff. It's really good. If you can probably Google New York Times, Greenwood, Oklahoma, and find it. But anyway, I say that to say that we all know that that was resentment, right? Even though they used the excuse of a black boy harassing a white girl, they couldn't wait to burn that shit down because they were living so well, they were thriving. Yeah. And that's the thing. Every time white folks have excluded us, like, white folks fed us scraps, we made soul food. You know, white folks would exclude us from things, we would just create our own. We created HBCUs.
We created jazz. We created music. We created the way to dress.
Everything we ever tried to do to box us out of, we've taken it and turned it, we've taken necessity and turned it into something.
Spun it into gold. Absolutely.
Yeah. They excluded us from tennis, so we gave them the Williams sisters. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, we can't lose.
It's very hard to not, like, we don't want to ascribe to the magical Negro thing, but we are kind of fucking,
we are the fuck magical. There's no kind of about it. That is what we are, and I'm so grateful that it's in my DNA.
Exactly. And then when we link up together and we can find what, you know, and it's fleeting, but we can find, like, what we deem as a safe space, whether it's like the family thing or it's a certain kind of, like, trap karaoke, or like there's a certain spaces that we can find that are all us, right? And when we, it's Sunday sermon, whatever, and we find those spaces or make those spaces even. And when we are in those spaces, like, again, the magic and the love and the power that comes out of those spaces, it's like they're like, what the hell is this? Like that's why we do Sunday sermon, and the people are like, turn the music down, because they're like, I hate that they're having so much fun.
Yeah, I also think it's that they are not excluded in large part from any other part of American culture. Nope. But, like, we are not explaining this to you. No. You don't get to know what splitting the pole is, right, and why we sing this version versus that version. It's not for you.
The white Protestant mindset, I know we're on a whole tangent, but just real quick. The whole white Protestant mindset that founded America, right, is very rigid. It's like, fun is a sin. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, anything.
Literally, it's a sin.
Yeah, anything you get joy out of is a sin. That's why you got all these fucking white movies where kids are rebelling by dancing and going to parties, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's not black folks' idea of rebellion. White folks' idea of rebellion, like, girls just want to have fun, Footloose, fucking all that shit. It's a dirty dancing. Dancing is scandalizing your fucking family, right? And the fact that we revel in those things, we revel in dance and eating and joy and laughing and being loud, right? All the things that supposed to be hateful, that's the problem.
And it also drives them crazy because, again, our spaces will still be open to the ones who come. Like, if they come, we ain't like, get the fuck out. We're like, yo, come on, bro, let's go get this drink. Yeah. And they're like, why are you not being mean to me the way?
Because they love to say, "Well, y'all wouldn't let me come to your thing." No, sure you can come.
There's a whole bunch of people.
Yeah. We're not gonna make you comfortable. But you can come,
and if you can find comfort in what we're doing, whether it's the black church or, like I said, or black picnic,
but
or
it means
black,
you have to adjust to us
exactly. Maybe you're the guy who married the black woman, and she's going to her family reunion. You're gonna have to adjust to us, and you're gonna have to respect Big Mama, and you're gonna have to eat this type of food, and you got to play these type of cards, and da 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 da. But once they get into that, they're like, "This is phenomenal."
Yeah, it's so much that we've had to mold and change to code switch to be acceptable by them. Yep. And when they enter our spaces, they don't realize they've been coddled all these years by how we present in front of them. Exactly. When they see us being fully free, there's something about it that they can't handle.
Yeah, they're fully, right, being fully us.
Makes me want to be fully free all the time.
I'm glad you got the interjection. You need that, Inca. That's
I needed good for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And also a good ass babysitter for days on end.
Yeah,
good times.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right, so we're gonna wrap it up. Oh, sidebar. Just tell Ivy her hair is popping. It is.
You can tell we've been in the streets.
No, she's dope. I love it. No, relaxed. I like her hair like that. I'm not making a joke. I really love her hair like that.
Piece to the afro.
Yeah, piece to the hair. Yeah, it's what our hair does. Right. You know what I'm saying? It looks great.
Yeah.
It looks great.
She had braids and beads all week. So
as she should
be free in the world today.
She's a little girl. What else is That's what she should be doing. Yeah, exactly. Last quick thing, just to the Naomi Campbell thing I talked about earlier. I just got an alert that her next guest is actually D Nice.
Oh, no.
Thing. Yeah, so she's going to talk about
that. That's going to be great.
So that's going to be good. So anyway, so we're going to wrap up on that. Bro, we're sorry. We know you're going to hear this show and be pissed off that they missed some of these topics. We missed the show. We'll see you next week. Or I don't know. Are we doing next week or not? It's the holiday.
We'll
I don't
talk
know.
About it. We'll figure it out.
We'll see. We'll figure it out. But anyway, we're going to wrap it up on this note. And happy Memorial Day to everybody.
Be safe, goddamn.
Be safe out there.
I know everybody's thirsty outside. I'm just hoping that New York don't turn into 1989 New York.
It's definitely turning into that.
Listen, the roaring 20s are here and people are outside. Just and this protect vegan, your neck.
This vegan thing is getting hard because it's barbecue season.
I don't know what you're going to do. We get to Kentucky. They're going to be like,
I thought about that. I'm like, there's literally going to be nothing.
I cannot go to Kentucky and observe a vegan diet.
What the hell is wrong with you? My cat will be like, what the hell is wrong with you?
God bless.
You know, good luck. Get a piece of ham up in here.
Right.
Okay, we ate all the meats at my mom's.
Don't be like, they might fuck around and be like, well, you can have some fish. We got some snapper.
Yes.
Okay,
crab cake for you, but
I figure that out. But yeah, but like, yeah, we'll see y'all and say have a happy holiday.
All right, y'all, later.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook, send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.